Not labels, what's it called?
Lights!
Camera!
Camera! Action!
Double action! Hey, welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for the month of September 2015. I'm Scott!
I'm Jason!
And every month...
And we're watching movies.
Every month, we watch movies and we talk about them. This year, I have decided to watch the quote-unquote 52 worst movies of all time.
And I am going through a bunch of box sets and I'm currently on Alfred Hitchcock collection.
And then any other movies we watch during the month. Now, in case you haven't listened to the last few episodes, I'm so far behind on my list.
Yeah, you are.
I caught up a little bit this month.
Yeah, you were doing well, and then toward the end of the month, you kind of stopped.
Yeah, I filled a quota. Like, to watch 5 bad movies like that in a month is enough, and I doubled that. Shit. So I didn't, to tell you the truth, I didn't watch any movies other than what was on my list.
Yeah, I remember you saying you were going
to
do that.
I didn't, no, but I wanted to watch, like, at least a good movie. I didn't watch anything. The only movies I watched were on my list. Fuck. All right, so I watched 11 this month.
Wow.
Yeah.
I watched 8.
I wanted to cry by the end.
But.
So, I guess I'll start then.
Yeah, you better.
First movie I watched was Blood Rain. Yeah. In case you guys don't know who I think is
pronounced
Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll.
He's a what country is he from? He's from some other country, and he's like, I am making good directing. He takes a bunch of video games and tries making movies into them. Mm-hmm. He did House of the Dead and Alone in the Dark and Postal, and this is Blood Rain.
Yeah, and he did like 2 of them. There's 2 Blood Rains, I think.
I think the sequel he didn't do. It was just Blood Rain 2. But now I didn't watch the movie. I played the movie like when it. God, talking. I played the video game many years ago when it came out, but I don't remember a lot about it. But in the movie.
You're having problems talking to
sure
this.
Sure am.
This will be a fun podcast.
In the movie, the lady who was the evil Terminator in Terminator 3, she plays Blood Rain, is her name, I guess. And, I'm not sure, like, I don't even know what happened in this movie. There's this evil vampire who's trying to gather the parts of the strongest vampire that was killed and turned into pieces and spread all over the world or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I found out something new. I didn't know vampires were allergic to water. Apparently that's a fact, because she goes in water and it burns her until she gathers one of the parts and then she's immune to water. I don't fucking get that.
See, I saw this movie when it came out.
Oh, in the theater?
No, I rented it from Family Video.
Jesus.
Or no, Hollywood Video, when we had that monthly membership.
Yeah.
And I don't remember much of it. I just remember it wasn't good.
Yeah, it's nothing really happens in the movie. Meatloaf is in it, which makes me sad, because he does some decent movies. But what I got out of it was there was no acting in it. Like, Michelle Rodriguez and Michael Madsen and then one other person that are, like, trying to hunt down Blood Rain, who's, like, half vampire, half human.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time, like, well, we should go do this. Yeah. Like, it felt like every character in the movie was trying to be the downtrodden character. It, like, I don't know. It felt like a 4-hour movie. I gave it a 3. Only because, for some reason, I don't know, man. I don't know why I gave it a 3.
Is that good or bad?
It wasn't good.
Do you think you should have gave it higher or lower?
I don't know. It's so hard to compare all these bad movies, because it's like, how bad...
They're all bad for the same for different reasons.
Yeah, but it was boring as shit. But she gets naked in it, so I guess that's that brings it up half a point, so I guess it was a 3 instead of a 2.5. I don't know. Jesus Christ, that movie was shit. Like, Alone in the Dark was better than that. And nothing happened in that movie. And it was Tara Reid in that movie. Jesus Christ. Alright. Well, the next one I saw... God. I'm just getting tired of myself already. Baby Geniuses. Now...
That makes me laugh so bad that, like, that you had to see that movie.
Fuck it, man. Okay. So all I knew about it was, before I watched it, was... Actually, you know what? You tell me what you think the movie's about, and I'll tell you how wrong you are.
It's about a bunch of babies that become smart.
Incorrect. It's apparently just this... they don't become smart. They just are, because apparently... Here's the rule. When human beings... When human beings are born, they come into the world with all of the knowledge of everything. And then when they cross over into being a toddler, like, so once they turn two, they forget everything. Yeah. So the babies, they somehow just know everything, they know the meaning of life and the pyramids and all this other shit that they shouldn't know. And there's this group who is studying these certain babies. I don't know where they got them from. They just have these babies. And they're studying them, trying to figure out how to unlock all that information. And that's where Christopher Lloyd comes in, because he's one of the guys. And then what's-her-nuts, the lady who's Jessica Rabbit, the voice of Jessica Rabbit, she's like the head lady. So what happens in the movie is, there's a set of twins that got given up for adoption, so they got split up. One of the kids is at this baby genius factory. The other one belongs to a family who adopted it, and it turns out the lady who was running the baby genius factory is the guy's aunt or whatever. So she stole his all ideas. Fuck it, stupid. So here's my problem with the movie. It felt like they tried making Home Alone for kids and failed horribly, because they said at the beginning, like, oh, this is baby amusement park, where they had this giant robot baby who was terrifying as shit, walking around like, give me a hug, and had all these like robot animals and stuff, and I'm like, this is gonna go wrong eventually. Yeah. Anyways, there's so many things, bad things to talk about this movie. the idea is the smart kid escapes, and then at the mall, and then the fucking people trying to capture him steal the wrong baby. And, like, we can study both the babies. And then they try to get the kid back because they realize the mistake. Parents realize the mistake. Randy Travis, the country musician, is in this movie. He played, like, a security guard at the baby factory. Yeah. Yeah, you're... Yeah. What did I write down? Okay. Oh. Worst part ever. I wrote down dancing baby and martial arts. So even if the kids... Even though these babies are so fucking smart, they still don't grasp the motor skills in order to fucking flip a 200-pound guy over his shoulder. And, like, he's fucking doing martial arts. The baby can barely hold his head up. Well, not baby, but he can barely walk. He's, like, fucking stumbling around. And then he did the green screen in this movie. It's fantastic, because it was, like, the late 90s. So when the kid sneaks into the mall and is trying all these clothes and making all these dumb one-liners... But he puts on a suit like in Saturday Night Fever and starts dancing to the Bee Gees, but his face is almost fucking blue because of the green screen. That's the funniest part of the movie. So at the end of the movie, I'm like, oh, babies are important. They go into this montage of like all these scenes from the movie, and then Randy Travis starts singing a song about how life is precious. It almost felt like the babies died, and this was like this is their memorial to the babies, like. Like, there... Oh, fuck! There's no reason to watch this movie at all. Like, there's not one... There's not even one thing in this movie that I say is okay. It's terrible. And it's Kim Cattrall and the guy from fucking Ghostbusters 2 and Ally McBeal, that guy. Those two are the parents. And Dom DeLuise is like their not nanny, but whatever you call him. Like, he's the groundskeeper of the house. So they have a fucking factory, but they have a baby daycare. I have to break the rules on this one, because I gave, we're scaling these from 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I Meet the Spartans was a 1. This is worse than that.
So you do a 0.5?
I'm giving it a 0.5.
That's not breaking rules.
From 1 to 5? 1 to 10, I mean?
I feel like 0.5 is still relevant in the scale of 1 to 10.
And Tom Hanks' brother is in this.
Colin Hanks?
No, that's his kid. No, the one who does the voices of Woody in video games and the toys. God damn it. Fuck that movie. He throws a ski or iron. Fuck it. What's your movie?
I watched Big Trouble in Little China.
That's a good movie.
It was one of those that I haven't seen in, like, forever. Probably since I was young and, like, a kid and stuff. Kind of like, you know, the one you watched.
Geniuses, yeah.
No.
The Big Trouble?
Well, this is Big Trouble in Little China.
I say Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, Nothing But Trouble, like, around that time period. But, yeah, Kurt Russell, his character is amazing.
Yes.
It's, like, the one that, well, not the one, but, like, one of the most redeeming things about that movie is that he doesn't give a fuck.
It's basically Kurt Russell being John Wayne.
Yeah. And, it seemed like it was all over the place, but not at the same time. Like, there's, like, one set plot, but there's a lot that happens in such a small window of things happening. And it doesn't have the shit didn't make sense. Like, oh, we're going to go into the sewers and stuff. Like, what? Like, I don't know. but if you've not seen the movie, Kurt Russell plays a trucker, and he meets this girl or something. She gets kidnapped by a Chinese gang or something. I don't really know what you would.
Yeah,
was it an Asian girl with green eyes or something like that? So he's trying to rescue her because.
Which is rare.
Because it's rare, and like. And then these Chinese people have powers. They can control the weather and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he gets like trapped into this. Or roped into this whole thing without knowing what's going on. But he just doesn't give a shit about a lot of this stuff. And then most of it is him just trying to get his truck back.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie is, like, he left his truck behind because he couldn't get it, you know, because he was surrounded by a bunch of, I don't know what they were, ninjas or something? I don't know.
I've watched it in, like, 8 years.
Okay, I thought you watched it a couple years ago. But he had to leave his truck behind because he would have got killed, and then he came back and his truck was gone. So he's trying to get his semi-truck, like, during the movie, and there's weird people with weird powers, and it was very 90s-ish.
Yeah.
I gave it a 6.5 because it was entertaining.
I should watch that again.
Yeah, they put it on Netflix, and I'm like, I should watch this, and that's why I watched it. I just felt like watching something on Netflix.
I have it on DVD.
That wasn't, because I was at the point where, like, I don't want to dive right into my box set yet.
Yeah.
So then I was like, it's on Netflix. Oh, let's watch this. I haven't seen this in a while, so it was my little fun movie to watch at the start of the month. Yeah. You got a lot, so I'll let you do your next one.
The one I watched was 1941.
Which that was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
I remember watching that in college.
So it takes place during World War II, I believe. I'm bad with history.
Yeah, it's World War II.
But it starts with like 10 different plots, it feels like. It's a long movie. I didn't realize how long it was. But, so there's, like...
It's a lot of people from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, a lot of Saturday Night Live people. It's, like, Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, John Belushi. Those are the main ones I remember. But there's, like, John Belushi just driving around in his airplane, just being a crazy ass. There's a guy who wants to win a dance competition, but he can't go there because the girls have to dance with the USO guys or something. And there's a guy that lives in the beach house that there's a submarine off the coast. And they're like, these people just looking for spies on this Ferris wheel. Like, there's like so many things going on at once. Oh, and Robert Stack was in it too. Cause he was like, that was actually a pretty funny part when the army guys go to watch, it's like their night off. So they go to watch Dumbo, and Robert Stack is just like laughing at the movie like crazy. And he's like crying at the part where Dumbo's learning to fly and stuff. It was pretty funny. But, yeah, it was all over the place. And it was it was a little slow at first, but it picked up its speed a little bit. But, I mean, after a while, I kind of just wanted it to end because it was long. But, I mean, overall, it was not bad. I gave it a 5.5. But the funniest thing, though, was I was watching that. I'm like, okay. And at the end, like, I think it was either produced or directed by Steven Spielberg. I was like, Jesus, that's weird. But yeah, 5.5. I mean, yeah, it seemed like a lot of those types of comedies back then, so I don't know why it was... I don't know, it kind of reminded me of Caddyshack-ish, but not as... I don't know, it was war-driven instead of...
Golf?
Golf, yeah. I don't know. That's all right.
The first movie I watched out of my box set this month was The Birds. Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. Probably, aside from Psycho, it's probably... I think his most well-known movie.
Yeah, it's pretty well-known.
I don't know. I guess Vertigo is pretty well-known and Rear Window. But a lot of people make references to The Birds. It's a very, I don't know, not really quotable, but like...
It's got, it's like, not symbolism, but like...
It's like, oh, birds are scary, and then there's this movie that they can relate to.
All I can think of is like, almost all these Alfred Hitchcock movies, I can just think of Simpsons scenes... Because the episode with Itchy and Scratchy Land, where the robots go insane, like, oh, we should have gone to the aviary or whatever. And then it shows the birds all attacking everybody. Hans Moleman.
But the movie, it's about this girl who was in a pet shop, and a guy comes in thinking she worked there. And so she's like, oh, for fun, she pretends that she works there.
Aww.
And then at the end, he finds out that she has no idea what she's talking about, so he knows that she doesn't work there. But he's looking for a certain bird, or like lovebirds or something like that.
Oh.
So then she tracks him down, and basically it gets really creepy, and tracks him down, and then goes to his house upstate and delivers him to him.
But like we learned from Werewolf years ago, it was okay to be creepy.
Yeah. So she does that, and she delivers the birds, and then at the same time, birds start freaking out. And start, like, trying to kill her.
Karma?
Yeah. And then and then they just start attacking a lot of things. And it was like, they're at the school. And the kids are, like, running inside. And the birds are throwing themselves at windows and stuff. Trying to kill them. And it's... The concept is cool. But the movie, I thought, was kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the effects were really cool on how they made, like, all the birds flying and stuff. And... all over the people, but I gave it a 6. Like I said, the concept's cool, but the movie itself wasn't too amazing, which I guess it might have been me getting my hopes up, because since I know it's such a well-known Hitchcock movie, I was expecting that. But then again, Vertigo is too, and I enjoyed that a lot more than I thought I would. So, but yeah, I got a 6 on The Birds.
Speaking of birds.
Birds or the duck.
No. Birds hang out by the beach, right? Like seagulls? Well, that's where surf ninjas hang out.
God damn it. That's where surf ninjas hang out.
Alright. So surf ninjas. I kinda got this confused with three ninjas.
Yeah.
So surf ninjas, there's these two kids. One of the kids who plays Kino in the second Turtles movie, remember him?
Yeah.
He's one of the kids, and then a little kid, who is his brother. And they're living with their uncle or whatever. No, and then their best friend is Rob Schneider. Is that right?
Making copies.
Yeah. Okay, Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider is...
And he's the guy that, like, just always walks into their house and makes food. He's like, oh, don't you have your own house? Yeah, but I can do this here, ba-doop-ba-doo. Needless to say, I hate Rob Schneider, but he was the funniest part of the movie. he was the funniest part of the movie. So, these kids, turns out, not really a spoiler, because it's, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie. You find out that the two kids who are living with their uncle... their actual parents are royalty. And when their kids were babies, they hid them with the guy so that they would hide from this evil clan. And that's where the ninjas come in. And these kids are good. They like to surf because they live in California or whatever. But the ninjas are walking around in daylight. You see them, obviously, and they're wearing, like, blue camouflage. Like, walking past the school windows, I'm like, these are not ninjas. They are awful, walking daylight, and then they fucking, then this other dude who, like, knows about their past, he's, like, following around and defeating the ninjas before they get to the kids. It's fucking stupid. Guess who the villain is, though? Leslie Nielsen. But years ago, like, something I can't remember exactly what happened, but it was fucking stupid, and he ended up, like, something fell on him. I don't remember. So, Leslie Nielsen has half of a robot face and a robot arm. And he's the villain. Like, I don't... oh, fuck, man. All right, the notes I wrote down was, yeah, blue camouflage, Kino, TMNT. Yeah, that's it. And the, the surfing doesn't come into it at all, except for they surfed the first... during the intro credits, and then at one point, like, the ninjas who had to go to the evil lair of the evil ninja, they're like, oh, how do we get across this water? I know! Let's chop down all these trees and make fucking surfboards! And then they do, and then they just, like, they surf to the island, from one island to another. They surf. And that's it. That's all the surfing that happens in Surf Ninjas. I gave it a 3.5. That movie was pure 90s. That was... like, it felt like, God, when you watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you watch, like, on a VHS, and you watch the trails beforehand, and it's, like, mm-hmm. the Hulk Hogan, who's a nanny, and all this other shit, it felt like, it feels right at home in there. That movie, like, I know it's probably on those movies, like, fuck, God damn it, shit. 3.5, oh, damn it, I'm so mad at this.
Okay, another movie I watched that wasn't in my box set was the new Mad Max Fury Road.
I heard great things about that.
Yeah, it was a good movie. The basic plot of the movie is there's this one guy who has all the water. It's like in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically their leader. And every once in a while he gives them a little bit of water and they have to fight for it. And he has all the women as his sex slaves.
Nice.
And stuff. So,
I mean, not nice.
But... so then, Charlize Theron's character
is badass. I hear
she takes the women to deliver. No, she's supposed to make a delivery, but she kidnaps the ladies to like bring them somewhere safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy finds out and sends a whole bunch of people after him. So the whole movie is pretty much a giant car chase with explosions and people getting killed, and like it's pretty intense. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, so they're trying to find this place called the Green Place, you know, part because it's all desert as far as they can see.
It's like reverse water world.
Yeah, it is like reverse water world. But it's a little more exciting seeing races on cars than boats.
Than ski-doos.
Yeah. But yeah, it's insane, like, because these people are like, we'll do anything for our leader and stuff,
mm-hmm.
because if we do well, we'll come back as a better person.
Oh.
So, like, there's parts where they just, like, go and explode, like, make themselves explode to try to take out other cars.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's, like, insane. But, I can't remember the guy's name, but, he played Beast, and he was in Skins.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's
British dude.
Yeah, he's in it. He's pretty good. I didn't know he was in it,
because
he's got, like, the makeup, so he looks like a skeleton, because he's, like, one of the... the whatever the guy
bad guys.
Henchman, yeah, but he slowly turns, you know.
All I know about this movie is that,
and Charlize Theron has like a hook arm. She only has one arm, so she's got like a robot arm type thing.
I was thinking like a hook shot type thing, where she's like Bionic Commando.
Yeah, it was good. Like,
yeah, one of the few things I know about that movie is there's a guy who plays guitar.
Yeah, he's on the front of a car. It reminds me of the rock band. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I gave it an 8.5.
Okay.
Might give... I don't know. I was thinking if it should be an 8.5 or a 9, but it was one of those that I bought, not knowing if I'd like it, mainly because I wanted to see it so bad, and I didn't want to, like, you know, rent it or go to the theater or something, so I just bought it. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah,
It was entertaining.
Did you watch it in 3D?
No, I didn't.
I'll have to watch it in 3D with you next time.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool to see it in 3D.
Yeah.
There's a lot of explosions and a lot of death. There's so many people getting run over by cars and just blowing up and stuff. Oh, there's some great stuff in it.
Speaking of so much death, imagine if they just dropped dead, as in Drop Dead Fred. I'm going to make a segue.
No, don't. This is horrible.
I'm going to make a segue for everyone.
This is horrible, right, Keish?
So the next movie I watched was Drop Dead Fred. Now, I watched this as a kid, and I barely remember it. I just remember it had to do with a lot of boogers. And,
I don't remember. Every time I think of it, I think of Benny and June.
Oh, yeah, that's a very different movie.
Yeah.
Drop Dead Fred is...
Was that a guitarist or something from some... Isn't he the main guy?
Yeah, he died just recently, like a month, last year. Or this year. I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe. He's British. Or Australian. I don't know. I think he's British. He has a different accent. He's foreign. Whatever. But the movie is about Phoebe Cates' character. I don't remember her real name. Phoebe Cates' character, she, her husband, she found him
cheating. That is her real name.
I know, but I can't remember
his character. He said, name. I don't remember her real name.
No, or, I mean, like, her real name in the movie. Her like, character her name? Yeah, the character. Because the movies are real.
Characters aren't, no.
Yes, this really happened.
No, it didn't.
I saw it. I watched it. But she found out her husband was cheating on her with this other girl, so, like, they're going through divorce. She has to move back in with her really strict, weird mom. Not weird. Really strict asshole bitch mom. And then while she's sleeping in her home bedroom, she finds this box in her room, and she opens it, and that's where her imaginary friend as a kid, Drop Dead Fred, he was trapped in there, and he obviously causes all sorts of commotions, like he's like, oh, let's do this, and walks muddy footprints across her mom's carpet that she can't even go in that room and stuff like that, and so on and so forth, but The girl, like Phoebe Cates' character, she's in the movie, she's trying to get over she's trying to get back with her ex-husband, or I mean, they're not divorced yet, but they're like separated. She's trying to get back with him, and then, you know, but he's a sleazy douchebag, and in the meantime, her imaginary friend, Drop Dead Fred, is trying to show her, like, hey, let's just have fun. And then while that's happening, her mom's like, she needs to settle down. She's seeing her imaginary friends, giving her, you know, stuff like that. So, every once in a while, though, I liked the part because they kept flashbacking to when she was a kid, and whoever the little girl was that played that character as a little kid was hilarious. Because at the very beginning of the movie, the mom was reading a bedtime story. She's like, oh, yeah, this. And then happy ever after. Why? Because they fell in love. That's a bunch of shit! It's just like, I don't know.
Is this a bad movie?
I mean, it was, the little kid was funny.
No, but it was on your bad movie list. Yeah.
I mean, it's not... Yeah. Little girl was funny. And Phoebe Cates is adorable, as usual. But it wasn't... I don't know. Booger humor and, like, stuff like that isn't that hilarious to me. And farting, yeah, and whatnot. So, I mean, I gave it a 5. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. So I gave that a 5. I still have like 6 more to do.
Oh, okay. I have 5.
All right. Do it to it.
The next movie I watched was a movie. It was another movie that I felt like I'm going to sit down and watch something on Netflix. And this one was called Time Lapse.
Okay.
Oh my God, this movie is awesome.
I just put that in my queue. And then I came downstairs and like, I'm watching this movie. I came home from work.
I started watching it because I read, like, the brief description. I'm like, this reminds me of a Goosebumps book, but it's not like it. Basically, it's called Time Lapse. It's about a camera that takes pictures in the future, but the camera itself takes up, like, imagine one of those old film projectors, like those giant ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's that size. And, well, basically, there's three people who live in an apartment or a rental place, duplex, I don't know. But across the way, there's this older guy, so they go over there to check on him,
mm-hmm.
and they find this giant camera, and they see all these pictures on the wall, and the camera is pointed right at their window. Like, so you see them mm-hmm. in the window. So they're like, what is he doing? He's such a creeper and stuff like that. And the picture they find on the ground, they're like, When did we do this? I don't know. I don't remember that happening. And they're like, you know, freaking out. And all of a sudden the next day, because it shows like the hat rack is tipping over and there's like stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And the next day she's like, oh, I gotta go. And then knocks the hat rack over. And they're like, everyone's like in that spot and like, that picture was from yesterday, but it's of today.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they figure out that when it takes a picture, it's 24 hours
later.
Yeah, but it's aimed at their window, so they're like, what if like, this one guy's a big gambler. Mm-hmm. So he's like, what if I put the winnings in the window so then we know them before they happen?
Mm-hmm.
So then they start, like, looking at the pictures. The one guy's a painter, and he's like, he can't think of what to paint. And he sees the picture, and he started a painting.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's, like, basically painting what he sees in the picture.
Yeah.
Trying to do that. And then they're, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, we got to do this exactly. So, like they pose for the pictures so they're the exact same as the ones that took place.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're afraid that if they don't, they might die. Because they found the body of the guy.
Oh, jeez.
Because he thought he was going to get killed. So he tried to stop it, and then he ended up dying anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, they're doing all this stuff, and it was like, for a camera that can't move,
yeah,
there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah.
And then it just gets crazy, because then they're, like, trying to do stuff, but they're trying to stop them, and, but they're like, we gotta do exactly like this, and then, of course, you know, he's using the winning stuff, and then they think he's cheating somehow, and then, like, the mob boss guy comes, and, yeah, mm-hmm. It was a really awesome movie. After I watched it, like, days later, I just kept thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's so good. I gave it an 8.5 as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I'd be interested to see, like, I don't know, a commentary on it and stuff as the movie's going. So, if I see it on DVD or something, I might pick it up. Yeah. But, yeah.
So, he tried getting a lot of winnings, huh?
Like, oh, God.
Like, he, like, diamonds are a lot of things you can get, like, gems, like stones, like rhinestone. Who am I going to watch is rhinestone?
God damn, that was a horrible transition.
Shut up, I'm going to do it. I didn't say any good. Bad movies.
People are trying to listen to this.
So, rhinestone. I saw the card, because it's a deck of playing cards. And
isn't only that picture, Dolly Parton?
Yeah, the only thing in the picture shows Dolly Parton and Sylvester Stallone, and it looks like they're holding hands, like they're about to do an arm wrestling thing, and they're looking at the camera like, yeah, and the background's just like a cityscape. So my first impression
Rhinestone
was...
Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yeah, it's based on the song, apparently.
Really?
Intro credits is based on the song, Rhinestone Cowboy. Like a rhinestone cowboy, whatever. But I found out the movie was written, Sylvester Stallone helped write the movie, which he also wrote Rocky. So I'm like, maybe this can't be too bad. And I was afraid it was going to be Dolly Parton in a Sylvester Stallone movie, but it was more like Sylvester Stallone was in a Dolly Parton movie. Dolly Parton works at this bar owned by this, like, really cheesy, like, hey, look at me, I'm rich. Oh, hey, lady, come here, over, check it out over here. He's a popular actor. I can't remember what he's from, and you can probably look him up on IMDb, but, like, the guy who owns the club, I want to see, he was probably on Friends at some point. But, anyways, Dolly Parton, like, sings on the stage. It's like it's a bar, and, like, what's it called? The club? Like a
saloon?
No, it's like a nice, like, dinner club type thing, but they have a stage also, so, like, you go there, and people drink and stuff like that. But whenever, and she has a contract there, and she's like, oh, I could be doing so much more stuff. He's like, hey, he's trying to bring new people in to, like, you know, so he can, like, he's constantly trying to bring new acts in, but, you know, until that happens, she's, like, stuck there constantly doing her stuff, which is, she's constantly getting hit on because Dolly Parton, she has big boobs. But, like, he brings this guy in, and he's like, he starts singing this song, people are like, whoa, this guy's the real deal. And as soon as he's like singing this, like, dark country song. He's like, I lost my old lady and blah, 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 blah. And then he starts describing how she died.
Oh, he was the dad in Garden State.
That makes sense, yeah. What's his name?
Ron Liebman? Liebman?
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Liebman?
Yeah. That's a intro thing. But anyways, yeah, that's him. So anyways, like, apparently, whenever they bring new acts in, the audience is super hard on them. So, like, as soon as he starts singing about how his wife...
He was on Friends.
As soon as
he was Rachel's dad.
Rachel's dad, yes. But as soon as, like, he starts singing about his wife and how she died, she got, like, run over by a tractor that she was on. people just started like laughing. He's like, "What? This really happened?" And people like, "Ah, get off the stage!" And he like ended up getting off the stage, and like, he's like, "Well," and Dolly Parton's like, "I can, you know, I could pick anybody." So it's like one of those movies, like, you know, She's All That and fucking whatever, like pick somebody and turn up. So he's like, "I can pick any Joe off the street and make him a star in 2 weeks or whatever." And he's like, "All right, I'll make you a deal." So she makes a deal, like, if she can find somebody and make him a quote unquote star, like where the audience doesn't boo him right away, she's out of the contract. But if that doesn't work, then the boss hires her on for like another 5 years, and he gets to have sex with her.
Whoa!
Yeah,
those are high stakes.
Yep. So what happens is Dolly Parton goes back down to Tennessee with Sylvester Stallone's character, and she shows him what it's like to be a country folk. So they're like eating country type food, and like they're singing country type music and stuff. And it's kind of entertaining because it's like a fish out of water type thing where there's like these old, like her dad and like his friends and stuff. Like, yeah, we're just doing this stuff. But my favorite part of the movie though was Sylvester Stallone thinks he knows he's not that great of a singer, but he, when he goes and sings, he goes all out. He's like, just going crazy. And then at one point, he's like, "All right, sing us with the show that you got." He starts singing a song. And then her dad goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you okay, son?" Because he was just freaking the shit out. Yeah.
You made it sound like it was good.
It was, I mean, it had its moments, but it was like also like almost 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a movie I would watch again at all, but like, Sylvester Stallone could not sing, and that's the part that really killed any sort of positivity in this movie. He's like when he's by himself, it's bearable, but then when she's singing next to him, you can tell how bad of a singer he is. So it's like, there's no fucking way. And it gets really cheesy, but I gave it a 4.5. So yeah, Rhinestone.
Know who liked rhinestones?
Who?
Marnie.
I'm
just kidding. I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Marnie was the next movie in my Hitchcock collection. And
that one looked interesting.
It was a weird one.
I think I saw the beginning.
No, I saw the end.
I saw part of it, and then I saw you watching the documentary on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened in the beginning or yeah, end.
You basically came in and saw the twist ending.
I don't remember the twist ending.
No. Okay, so Marnie...
I just saw the documentary, and like, something about a horse.
is about... Oh yeah, the horse. Holy shit, I forgot about that. The horse dies. But anyway...
Spoiler.
Marnie is about a girl who works at this company, steals money from the company, leaves, goes... gets another job elsewhere and does the same thing. She does this like a couple times, changes her identity, steals more money. But this movie takes place after, I think they said the second time she did it.
Okay.
So then as she's starting her third job, the guy she's trying to steal money from is Sean Connery.
I like how we just don't write the characters' names.
Nope.
That makes me laugh.
But it's Sean Connery in a Hitchcock movie. I didn't know that happened. And she falls in love with him, and he gets kind of forceful with her and stuff, because he eventually finds out that what she's trying to do. And he basically figures out her secret, which is not just the stealing money. And that ending part of the movie was like, oh, okay, this went in a different direction. But I'm not going to say what the secret was, because people would be mad because I just spoiled the movie.
Well, actually, the funny thing is, I was talking to Carrie, and she's like, sometimes I wish you guys did spoil the movies, because there's some of these movies I wouldn't watch, but she was talking about the Puppet Master ones.
Oh, God.
She's like, I'm not going to watch that movie. What happened? But
so yeah,
Hitchcock movies seem like something
you'd don't want to spoil. But there is a part, and, oh yeah, I told you I watched the documentaries and stuff on this. This is around when Sean Connery's doing James Bond.
Yeah.
So, like, he's got the image of doing James Bond, and he's doing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene in the movie where he rapes her.
Okay.
Or basically forces himself on her and gets his way. And
so basically James Bond, but not as willing.
And the writer said, I don't think we should do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he fired him.
Oh, shit.
Hitchcock fired him and says, nope, we're putting this scene in the movie. So then the other writer came in and finished the movie. Yeah.
Hitchcock.
I was like, holy cow. But I guess that's kind of a spoiler, but it's not the end of the movie spoiler. It's like in the middle-ish. But, yeah. That's Marnie. I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, I saw part of, like, the... I saw part of the documentary. So, like, I saw... From what I saw at the very beginning, when she's, like, just starting at the office,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw part of the, like, parts throughout the documentary, like, we did this by doing this and this, and, like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of shit goes on, and then I saw, like, partially that there's this really weird, like, psychological shit going on, and, like...
Yeah, that's the secret twisting at the end.
Like, I might actually have to, I'm gonna have to listen to this podcast again so I know which movies I want to rewatch, because...
But, yeah, that one... Yeah, it's one of those things that he kind of figures out that she's stealing the stuff and kind of, like, blackmails her into a relationship.
Yeah.
So, like...
Jesus.
Yeah. And that's... And then, yeah, the whole forcefulness. He's like, you're my wife. We're doing it. Kind of thing. Like, oh, shit. Yeah. 6.5.
So, it sounds like Sean Connery's, you know, sexual needs were in overdrive. Speaking of, Maximum Overdrive.
That's one of the movies I watched, too. That's the last movie I watched in the month.
Dude. Is it?
Yeah.
That's my 7th.
And I have, like, 2 more in between, but only 1 more, really.
Well, I'm going to...
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Maximum Overdrive. I'm a huge Stephen King fan, and this is the first movie that he wrote and directed.
And his last.
The only movie he wrote and directed because of how well it did. It's sort of inspired by a short...
Emilio
Estevez is in it. But it's inspired by a short called Trucks, which was turned into a short film.
Whoops.
But, basically the story, Trucks, is basically the middle part of the movie. So what happens is, a meteor passes Earth, and all machines, just behave however they want. They come alive. And which means saying the machines go, fuck humans. And you get to watch the first like 20 minutes of the movie of just straight up machines killing humans to AC/DC.
Yeah, that's right. AC/DC does the entire soundtrack.
That's what, yeah, they did the whole soundtrack. But that's basically the first 20 minutes is, hey, this car is like hitting the other cars, and this fucking bridge is going up, and this soda machine is shooting cans of soda at people, and the alarm clock's going all crazy, and this and this, and like, so there's a bunch of people that are trapped in a diner, and they don't want to help the machines, and they want to escape to Haven, which is a made-up city that is in many Stephen King's books,
mm-hmm.
because there's a whole island there where they don't have any electricity. That's the movie, pretty much, because then they, most of it's just them watching. Yeah,
I wrote down, electronics come alive, semi-trucks run people over.
Yeah, I wrote trucks, was my note. But I already had this, is one of the few movies that I actually owned because I bought it because I knew, it's one of those bad movies that it's entertaining to watch because it's bad,
mm-hmm.
but then halfway through you're like, I'm all done. Right, that's enough.
Yeah.
So that's why...
It's entertaining. The concept is entertaining. Yeah. The movie itself is entertaining. But after a while, you're like, I've seen enough of this movie.
Yeah, exactly. So I gave it a 5.
Yeah, what did I did? I did it... I gave it a 6, apparently. The entertaining fact.
Yeah.
But
I've seen this movie.
You could watch it and then just stop when you're done.
Yeah.
And like, oh...
I'm like, I've already watched this movie 3 times, so I was...
Yeah, that was my first time.
I saw it on TV, and then when I bought the DVD, and then this time.
So, now transition from Maximum Overdrive to your next one.
Well, the thing is, on Maximum Overdrive, they had a lot of trucks. Speaking of trucks, the next movie I saw involved Uma Thurman hitchhiking across the country in Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
I don't think I wrote enough notes on this. God damn it. Oh, so I don't know what this movie was about. When the intro credits started, it shows Uma Thurman's character as a little girl, and I guess the character, she had really big thumbs. Yep, you're laughing. I can see you giggling.
I'm like, that's...
She had really big thumbs, and her parents were like just immediately shooting her down. Ugh, only thing she could be good at is hitchhiking. So when she turns like 15, she's like, I'm going to hitchhike. And then just hikes. And then the next time you see her, she's 30. And she's like... So she almost turns it into some sort of like a religious thing where she just like... She fucking flaunts it off. So she'd be by the side of the road and just do this weird like movement. Like, yeah. Like she's an airplane commander type thing where she'd land here. It's like, oh, this. And she's just doing all these dances and all these cars are stopping for her. It's fucking dumb. It felt like it's some sort of like... It felt like someone just graduated a liberal arts college, and this is their first, like, main feature, because the movie was just bizarre, mm-hmm. and it felt like jack shit happened in it. So, what I wrote down was big thumbs, and I wrote no story, because the story basically happened like this. She goes to visit her, who she calls Sissy, but it's an older man who is very effeminate and looks kind of like a woman. Who's like, hey, you need to get laid. She's like, I never did. She's like, okay, I know the perfect person for you. So, it's Keanu Reeves who sees her, because apparently Uma Thurman used to be, her character used to be a model back in the day, and he sees her and then hyperventilates, so they have to drive her back to his apartment, and they're like, hey, you want to have sex with us instead? And she's like, I don't like this, and then she leaves. Then she ends up going to this retreat type place way out in the country, like out in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these quote unquote cowgirls who have been,
who get the blues.
What happened was they have been doing some of, cause it's like a rich person, like a rich ladies place where they go like, oh, here's where we do yoga and this and that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a nice calming retreat, type yeah. place. But for rich ladies. So these cowgirls go in there and like, they're exercising with all these other normal rich women. And apparently that's a problem. Like, oh, they're up to trouble. Like, okay, what? The movie's half over. I don't know what the fuck is happening. But they want to use Uma Thurman in a commercial where these birds fly down. These like type of geese or swans or something. And they fly in the background because they're always in that area. Well, it turns out the cowgirl's been feeding the birds special seed with like marijuana in it. So they chill out and hang out in a different part of the area more. So then, I'm going to spoil this movie because I don't give a shit. So then, of course, somehow, without even realizing it, Uma Thurman is apparently involved with one of the women who, and all these cowgirls had weird names. The main cowgirl's name is Bonanza Jelly Bean. All right?
Sounds like a stripper.
I know. Like, somehow the climax of the movie, where it doesn't even feel like it was heading to a climax, was the U.S. Federal Marshals or whatever are, like, telling the ladies to give the geese back. So she goes, the Bonanza Jelly Bean goes out there and is like, oh, I guess we should let the geese or the birds go back. I'll go out and talk to them. And then she's riding out there on the horse. She's like, hold on, I should probably get rid of these guns in my holsters, right? Because I want to be peaceful. So she pulls both her guns out. And she gets shot to death. Surprised? Are you surprised by this? Are you fucking kidding me? That's how they want to make sure that Uma Thurman's character is like brokenhearted. Because she's like, oh wait, I'm carrying guns. If I'm holding the reins of a fucking horse. And they see that I have guns in me. They'll no. She fucking draws them out to throw them to the ground. They're like, oh, she's drawing her guns. And they shoot the shit out of her. And then I don't, like, fucking... Oh, and at one point during the movie, she reduces one of her thumbs to make it smaller, and then she has problems hitchhiking because no one wants to stop for her. It's fucking Uma Thurman. How does a thumb make a difference? She's fucking... And Mr. Miyagi, he's a character in the movie who's called the Chink. That's his name, he's the Chink, but he's Japanese. They don't know why he called him that. It feels like they just did toss all this weird shit in there because they could. It was not a good movie. I gave it a 2. Fuck that movie. I mean, and Reese Witherspoon was in it for about 4 seconds, but her name showed up in the credits because she's one of the cowgirls who never talked. God damn it. For a movie, I mean, Uma Thurman, I have a huge crush on her, but fucking I didn't have to watch this. Like, she, like, this, God, God damn it. Fuck.
I saw a torn curtain. So, this is, Torn Curtain is another Hitchcock movie. What?
Just, that was perfect. Just a long pause and I saw this.
I saw this. Torn Curtain is takes place during the Berlin, East Berlin issue. You know, was it the war? I don't know.
I don't know history for shit.
I don't either.
It's Germany.
But anyway, Julie Andrews and Paul Newman are the two main characters in this movie.
Is this the sequel to Sound of Music?
No. But anyway, basically, Julie Andrews is in love with Paul Newman in this movie. No character names. Fuck it. and,
Is this called Torn Curtain?
Torn Curtain.
Okay.
And, Paul Newman is a scientist. And
oh, sorry, I'm trying to think who Paul Newman is. The red dressing guy.
He's a scientist, a nuclear scientist. And he's working with East Berlin, who's against the U.S. And he's there to work with them and try to figure out to make the nuclear bomb.
Okay.
And he tells Julie Andrews' character that, oh, he's going to... I forget where he tells her he's going. But then she sneaks along and then finds out that he's going to... Yeah. He's going to East Berlin to work with them, and they're all like, oh, you're here to help us, da da da. And she's like, you're a traitor. Because it's like against the US and stuff.
Yeah.
But then you find out that he's not a traitor, he's just a spy for the US to try to get information. Because they're trying to make the nuclear bomb.
Double agent.
Yeah. But they're missing some part of the formula. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to get it from their scientists.
Is Einstein in this movie?
No.
Oh.
So, like, that's the basic premise of the movie. I'm not going to get too much into the details and stuff like that. There's a lot of double-crossing and, like, there's a couple scenes.
A lot of spy stuff.
Yeah. There's, like to me, the most memorable part is this part when they're on the bus trying to get out of the country. But the movie, I gave it a 6. It's pretty interesting. It was one of those, like, in the documentary, it was funny because they're like, oh, Julie Andrews is in this movie. And everyone's expecting her to sing. Because this is, like, right after Mary Poppins.
Okay.
So they're like, people watch the whole movie expecting her to sing at some point. That's just funny. A little bit. And they're like, no, that's not this kind of movie.
That's really funny.
So, yeah, I watched that one. That was a 6. And then the last movie, I'm just going to get it over with.
I just want to say, though, the tagline on the poster says, because it's called Torn Curtain,
mm-hmm.
It tears you apart with suspense.
Well, it's called I was, like, trying to figure out why it's called the Torn Curtain, but apparently, I had it.
Berlin Wall.
Lead Curtain, Iron Curtain.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Curtain was what they called, like, yeah.
I got you.
Anyway. And then the last movie I watched, because Maximum Overdrive is my last movie, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy again, because this is the first time I watched it since I bought it. I saw it the last time I saw it in the theaters opening weekend.
Yeah.
And it still lives up to what I gave it. I gave it an 8.5 last time, and it lives up to that. If you want to know more about Guardians of the Galaxy, August 2014 is... when Scott and I talked about that movie.
Yep. Speaking of...
God damn it.
Guardians of the Galaxy, make sure you have a guardian around in case someone tries to finger you.
Whoa! I know this is going, but that's bad. Scott watched Freddy Got Fingered. You're just trying to make, like, these shitty movies more interesting.
I am. Oh, Freddy Got Fingered was the Tom Green movie. The cat's just staring at me like I'm crazy. Freddie Got Fingered is a Tom Green movie, his first movie, where he's all by himself. I guess there was a plot in the movie, because I watched it many years ago when it came out, and now I watched it with a clear head. Tom Green's
drunk.
Tom Green's character wants to be a animator.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So he goes to L.A. and works at a cheese sandwich factory, where he makes cheese sandwiches, so he can have a job. So he can go, and he goes to an animator to try to sell him an idea, and he gets shot down. So then he's like, "Oh fuck this!" And then he just fucks around for a while, and then meets a girl who's a nurse. And she's in a wheelchair. What else happened? He touches.
I saw it in college, and I just remembered, "Daddy, would you like some sausage?"
Yeah. He also, It feels like he did things just because he's like, this would be. No one's ever done this before. Because at one point he's driving down the road and he sees like, he's just eating a giant sandwich. Like, just fucking showing his mouthful, and he stops and he sees a horse stud farm. So he just runs up and grabs the horse's erect penis and shakes it, saying, "I'm a farmer, Daddy, look, I'm a farmer! I'm a farmer!" And, no one's done that before, I guess. But then, like, of course, like, his dreams fall through, and then he somehow sells the idea and stuff, then he... It's like, his father... is constantly calling him worthless, and then they eventually get into this whole like giant rift where he breaks this and he breaks that, and then they like just start fucking with each other like in an angry way, just ruining their lives for each other. Yeah, the movie, it's not good, but I did laugh out loud probably 2 or 3 times. One time was because he worked at a cheese sandwich factory, which that idea is kind of funny. Like, he just puts bread goes by, and he just puts a cheese between each bread, like a cheese sandwich factory. That just makes. But then he ends up working at a cheese. He works at a sandwich shop, and he's like, "I can make cheese sandwiches." That's like his on his resume. He can make cheese sandwiches. But as he's like cleaning up for the night, he's mopping, and he just grabs a mop and just starts mopping off the top of the tables and just knocking over like the ketchup and mustard and stuff. And just the way he did it was made me laugh. But other than that, it was... like, it was bad when I liked Tom Green. It's worse. It's just like, just do something. Don't be annoying. Because, you know, it's not real people reacting. It's people that are paid to be actors to react to things. Right. You're being weird. Like, that's the... breaks the... So I gave it a 2.5. There was a couple things in it. Like when he fucking finds a dead deer on the side of the road and then he cuts it open and goes inside of it, where he's all dirty with the deer. Mm-hmm. Speaking of dirty, the next movie I watch is Dirty Love. I set that one up way too easily. Dirty Love is a movie, Jenny McCarthy is the main character, and her friends are, what's her name? Carmen Electra, and then some girl I don't recognize. And then the dude from Freddy Got Fingered, who is actually Freddy, his brother, in the movie. And he's got to be in something else. I want to say, like, was he in American Pie?
I don't know.
God damn it. I can't remember, like, yeah, he's got the weird face and stuff. But anyways, surprise, it's a very similar plot to some other movie that I just recently watched. Jen McCarthy's character, she finds out her boyfriend is cheating on her. They break up. And she's like, "I gotta find true love." So she's spending all this time trying to find love. And surprise, surprise, the guy from Freddy Got Fingered is always there like, "Oh, I'm always there for you." Surprise, he likes her. You find that out in the first 10 minutes. He was in American Pie. He was in American Pie movies. That's why he looked familiar. But, yeah. And then she keeps going on these dates with these really shitty guys because she's trying to make her boyfriend, who is a supermodel, by the way, make him jealous. And then, but he keeps failing horribly. What else happened? I don't know, man. I hate to say it, but one of the funny, like, the overacting in that movie was bad. And Carmen Electra pretended, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, but she acted like she's a black person. Because she's like, no, girl, I don't think you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm, okay, yeah. And then at one point, a guy from Sum 41 even told her, like, you know you're white, right? Which, I think she's, like, part Hispanic. I don't fucking know. Yeah, her character's name was Michelle Lopez. Oh, that's right, they have different names. Her name is Rebecca, and he was John. Ha, ha, ha. But then, yeah, she goes on all these dates and stuff. But what, the sad point is the best part about the movie was when she was, like, she lost her job, too. And she was on her period, so she needed to buy tampons and stuff. So she went to the grocery store. She went to the grocery store, and she started, like, leaking and leaving a trail throughout the store.
Gross!
But at the same time, her ex-boyfriend is there. So she's, like, she's hiding, and she's, like, hiding behind the produce, like, waiting for him to leave. And then she looks down, and there's literally, like, a fucking diameter, like, a 4-foot diameter red puddle all around her. She's like, how is that even possible? And then she, like, has all these, like, she's just taking, and then over the PA, you keep hearing, clean up to aisle this, clean up to aisle this, and she has, like, all these napkins and stuff, like, feminine napkins, like, just trying to wipe it up. She's like, no, no, don't come over here. And, like, that was interesting and funny to me.
It's disgusting.
It was, but it just, Jenny McCarthy sometimes has comedic moments, and she's older in this movie, so she's actually, like, hotter than I remember her being, like, back when she was quote-unquote hot. But I gave that, it was bad, but not horrible, so I gave it a 4. And, I don't have a segue for this. I watched this movie years ago, and it was not that good then. I'm like, maybe I'll find it funny now.
It's on the crap list.
I know, but, like, maybe as a kid, I was, like, expecting it to be funnier. It's Pat the Movie. It's a movie, a full-length movie, which actually, by full-length, I mean 76 minutes. Of a Saturday Night Live sketch that I didn't think was funny in the first place.
Right. Is it a man or a woman?
Yeah. It's a female who is pretending to be Pat, who looks like a man or a woman, and with a generic name like Pat, it could be either. And
then it has a boyfriend / girlfriend named Chris.
Chris, who is Dave Foley. And then the next door neighbor they just move in, and he meets Pat. And he becomes obsessed with trying to figure out whether he's a man, Pat is a man or a woman. That's about it. They make a lot of jokes, just generic jokes like, oh, I need to grab this. Oh, like
feminine napkins.
Yeah, like feminine napkins. Because you never know my aunt's going to visit. Oh, make sure I need protection. Deodorant. Oh, ho, ho. And you're like, yeah, fucking, we get it. We fucking get it. It's a dumb joke, and it's not funny, and it's fucking boring. Nothing. God. Fuck. I gave it a 2. 76 minutes was too long for this. Half hour been too long. It's a dumb. It's a tired joke. I don't know how they made that into a movie. I don't know how. What, like, did Stuart Smalley do that bad that they had to make this? Like, I don't know.
Stuart Saves the World. That's
like,
right.
It was fucking, like, oh, man. So that's where I end the goddamn list.
Yeah.
For the fucking month is a 2.
My lowest was a 6, and my highest was an 8.5.
My lowest was a 0.5 with Baby Geniuses, and my highest was a 5.5 with 1941.
Oh yeah, my lowest was a tie between Maximum Overdrive, Torn Curtain, and Birds at 6. And then the highest was Mad Max Fury Road and Time Lapse.
Although I do have one quick theory. I know we're running a little late, but I have one quick theory, though, and I noticed a pattern. If you pick any movie from my movies so far,
mm-hmm.
there is at least one actor in another movie in that list. Because, like, shit, Dirty Love, Kathy Griffin was in it as a psychic. She's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And Jenny McCarthy goes, are you joking? Do I look like a comedian? And then she's in It's Pat because she's like Pat's neighbor. And like, oh, we're best friends. She's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And like all these fucking movies. Meatloaf was in Blood Rain. He was also in the Spice World movie. And then fucking like Baby Geniuses. Like, I don't know that one exactly, but still, like, all these fucking movies, there's Because the Surf Ninjas, the kid that played Kino, was also the prince from fucking Red Sonja. Like, there's so many fucking, like...
So when you're in a bad movie, you're going to be in another bad movie.
You will be. At least it's work, I guess. Because, I mean, god damn it, man. There's so many, like, I kind of want to... God damn it. It's... Fuck, man. Whoops. Jesus. All right, anyways, if you want us... You want us to...
Uh-oh.
I can't. What's up?
He's, like, rubbing against it.
If you want us to watch any certain movies, not got the hiccups, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. It's stuffbyscott@gmail.com. If there's any movies you want us to watch, or if there's any movies that you watched and you have your own opinion on, or you know, anything like that. So with that,
that's a wrap. Do 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 do